Gather terangi marie, orang indu ye tui hone, o papu tunu kue takatone, o te taia e afine ia tato, tihe Māori ora. This is the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
It is indeed. Welcome to the Green Desk. So yesterday, Mitch, our co-producer, came in and interviewed Wellington's Massey University Head of Art School, Dr. Huhana Smith. Dr. Smith is an arts and principal leader in transdisciplinary action research projects. For the past decade, Dr. Smith has been leading research that incorporated Maturanga Māori with the sciences that address climate change. In recent years, Dr. Smith has been leading the projects in the Deep South Challenge, a national scientific challenge focusing on climate change. It is currently the largest scientific exploration incorporating Maturanga Māori within the discourse on climate change. Mitchell begins by asking Dr. Smith how they have managed to successfully interweave and convey this increasingly comprehensive approach towards climate change to the various iwi, hapu, and the wider community involved.
Well, I think the approach, the approach that we perfected in another project called Manaaki Taha Moana, which went from 2010 to 2015, was getting all the teams out on the whenua together.
Yep.
And walking and talking that whenua via the hikoi methodology.
Yep. Yep.
Where we would literally take long walks over affected areas and, you know, see the issues that were at hand. So that was one methodology. But we also combined with our designers and landscape architects, we also used, you know, whakapapa or genealogies and that kind of philosophical and understanding that everything is interconnected, that humans are connected to nature, and how do we pull all that, those systems together, which is understood by Māori as a whakapapa kind of methodology. And then we also use korero tuku iho, which is oral narratives of place, to kind of imbue our other knowledge disciplines, that they got a really deeper understanding of how Māori relate to place. And we just, I think, if I could say that our first project, the 2010 to 2015 project, really perfected that kind of methodology. And then we used that methodology again for getting our people to understand the complexities of climate change science, and in all its changes and unpredictabilities and, you know, its expressions of vulnerabilities, but, you know, what's that really going to look like? And so we combined, you know, that science using using the design to help explain the science in a visual way.
Yeah, okay.
And that's when we started morphing things into, I'm an ex-curator in a museum, you know, I used to be senior curator Māori at the Museum of New Zealand in Wellington at Te Papa, and so using the curatorial museological methodology to help pull
of
complex
course.
Information together and help our people see.
That's amazing. Obviously, this is not necessarily just confined within New Zealand. This seems to be a trend that is occurring throughout the world now. You know, people or scientists or some scientists seem to be going and looking at indigenous worldviews and cultures and using their knowledge in their science. What do you think has been the change in, I don't know, thought to go out and actually, I don't know, acknowledge these worldviews now?
I think because, well, if I want to say it quite bluntly, we're in deep shit. So actually what I want to purport is that this is the knowledge that people should have been working with from the beginning rather than avoiding it or
100%.
Dismissing it or ignoring it. So it's a little bit to people's peril now to go, Indigenous peoples, help us. It's what we've tried to do in all our projects, because I've been doing this for some years now, and with, you know, the researchers I've trained and my whanaunga that I've learnt from and all that kind of thing, you know, our kaumata and all sorts of things. It's a complex mix of people who are grounded in a local knowledge of place. So the knowledge is generated out of whenua. So using that knowledge is the best way to get all people coming into that space. So what our teams tried to do was just everyone came into a Māori space. So we weren't kind of like, oh, let's tack the Māori knowledge on the side of this. It had to say, no, all you knowledge systems have to come into this Māori space and understand how, you know, a tikanga approach or a kaupapa Māori approach or a mātauranga Māori approach to the complexities that we all face as humans. You need to come into the space respectfully, in mutual respect, and learn as quickly as possible how you know, an interrelated or interdependent system function. So, and that's really what our teams of people have done, and we've just got better at it over the years. Some scientists didn't quite get it and still felt quite challenged by not being able to do a reductionist approach, but essentially all the people, I would say most of the people in the science fraternity we've worked with, they've all had to shift their perspective and get it, and it's been amazing. It's been really an amazing process.
It is really cool. And just with that, obviously, you know, the colonising government went pretty hard to remove Māori knowledge and just to delegitimise it. Were there spaces where there were sort of gaps in knowledge?
I do believe there were gaps, and I think it's more, maybe it became a little bit more hidden from view rather than lost from view.
Okay, yeah.
A little bit more hidden because perhaps some of our own people had looked more towards economic models and, you know, systems of, you know, economic production, da-da-da, which actually removed us from the environment, so we weren't actually able to engage with our environment like we used to, or, you know, in my mother's generation or my grandparents' or great-grandparents' generation. So by getting into different kind of land use models, we disassociated ourselves from actually being deeply ingrained in the environment. I think if I can just harken back to that previous project, we did a big six-year project, Manaakitaha Moana, caring for coastal ecosystems into the tidal moraine, which was all about fresh water. And we were ascertaining the decline issues for fresh water, which was all about economic, telling you that this was the only economic base that was viable. And it was a damaging one. So we were basically damaging our relationship. Even though our Māori farms were productive, we were basically damaging our relationship with that whenua, awa, that, you know, what kind of gives us our sense of identity and understanding. And it was causing all sorts of dysfunction. So I think that's why, I mean, with the people I work with at home, like in Kukuhura Whenua, is that we've all been really passionate, you know, from our late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, we're now all in our 50s, most of us, we have recognised that some of our systems of economic benefit have not actually been helpful for our cultural well-being. So we're just trying to flip that and turn that around really quickly, because now we're all suffering the kind of accelerated impacts of climate change and what that means for people to be able to, you know, work well with their place and actually generate well-being for themselves and future generations. Because really, all of this work is about the kids.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, save the kids of the future, really.
I don't know if this is getting a bit out of scope, but obviously this is happening in the scientific community and the Māori community, but do you think it's time for putting it into legislation, and that obviously would contribute more toward achieving the intent of the Treaty of Waitangi and things like that?
Well, I mean, look, you know, the Resource Management Act has the strongest, you know, kind of premises for, you know, engaging with Treaty of Waitangi and iwi and hapū. It all comes down to the interpretation and the legal kind of context, and depends on who's in the court at the time. You know, it's quite a meaty place as well. I do firmly believe that we need to be really going hard out. We've had legislation in regards to Te Awa Tupua, the Whanganui River being recognised as a human. We've had a whole range of really kind of amazingly positive things happening like that. But I think it's the time to act. It's like we're beyond kind of interpreting or, you know, having, you know, or paying respect to, or, you know, recognising something. It's action. We now have to act. So much more of what we have to do now is about planning those changes that need to be made, rather than trying to limit, you know, levels of effort, because we're beyond maintaining, you know, small levels of compliance to those laws.
Of course.
We're way beyond that now. So that's what I think. I really feel that so much of where we're at now is promulgating, you know, total action. And that's what my team have been doing. And we've been working with Kura Kaupapa and Ōtaki and getting the kids involved in our, not only our water revitalisation projects, where they're actively protecting sacred systems, lake systems, dune lakes, wetlands, waterways, all that kind of stuff, because their human well-being relies on it. But we're also trying to accelerate how well we can share this information visually using art and design visual systems, so that more people get it to be acting. Yeah, it's so interesting what your question about legislation, but you know, there's a lot of other people in my world who are far better at working on that area than I am,
yep.
So I allow them to kind of, you know, just go for it.
Of course, yeah. I don't know if this is a question that might be a bit premature, but is there evidence of a sort of change, you know, an increase in knowledge and an understanding within the wider, like, climate change discourse now that sort of...
Yeah.
From including this Indigenous worldview for you?
Yeah, there is totally. There is. I get invited to speak at a lot of things, you know, around the country, overseas, da-da-da. There's a major convergence going on in regards to, you know, strategic kind of planning based on local knowledge of place and particularly based on Indigenous knowledge of place. That's coming from a really respectful position.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing token here because no one's got time for token.
Yep.
And how we're combining, you know, that with, you know, increased water health knowledge, you know, what needs to be done to kind of sustain, you know, water or water as life. And then we've also a lot of people working in the adaptation triggers kind of arena. So I firmly believe there's a massive convergence going on where actually people are linking up really, really well. And we do not have time for another decade of inertia around mm-hmm. climate change action. So our previous government were disablers.
Yep.
We now just need massive enabling and massive resourcing to kind of help Aotearoa cope because the Pacific's already suffering. We're already seeing massive, you know, impacts of migration, food security, water impact. You know, it's all happening in our backyard. And so, you know, I firmly believe there is no time for complacency nor time for denial because it is abundantly clear that, you know, things are shifting dramatically and that we need to have fantastically organised plans based on the best data of the best minds and actions coming together, you know, to sort the serious shit that we're in.
Absolutely. So in terms of, or maybe not just in terms of enablers, but where would you like to see us go? And what is the immediate future looking like for us in terms of this realm of climate change discourse, including Mātauranga Māori and achieving these positive outcomes?
Well, I mean, what it needs to be done is that all our authorities need to recognise that, you know, Mātauranga Māori or Māori knowledge is an authority. So respectfully kind of, let's say, come into that space and work hell of a lot more closely at a comprehensive level with the knowledge of a land, waterways and Māori relationships to it. Work really, really hard in that space. You know, don't deny it, don't dismiss it, don't reduce it. Work damn hard on it because it's all about accelerating. My sense, you know, my thing is accelerating people's action in this space. So that's the main thing. That's the main thing. We just, it's just pure action based on the best plans. Yeah, so kind of where we're at. There is massive convergence around the world, but the interesting thing that I like engaging with, you know, where I'm at Massey University, is that art and design are definitely showing the way in regards to how Indigenous knowledge, science and all those other kind of aspects of knowing can converge and be presented in a way where particularly iwi and hapu, but all communities can get it as soon as possible.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Māori Ora.